This week, we have the honor of talking to Adam and Jesse of the band Bright Stuff. Before we get into that, I just want to apologize because we were having some audio issues with Adam's mic.
Well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sanchez, and today we are joined by a couple of special guests, but also I have my little sister here, Kira. Kira, how are you doing?
So good. It's been a wonderful day. How are you?
Doing awesome. Such a good day. But as you can see, we have a couple of guests here. It is Adam and Jesse, and they are known as Bright Star. How is it going today, Adam, Jesse?
It is wonderful. It is Monday, and everybody loves Monday, right?
He's right.
No. I mean, I love it because we do the podcast, so yes.
I'm a full-time pastor, so all the days are pretty much the same.
Amen.
Well, that leads me kind of into my first question. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. Whoever wants to go first.
Is this where you want the testimony?
No, I'm going to be asking you that later.
Awesome. But well, I am 42 years old. Born and raised in Illinois, tiny town, about 5,000 people, and that is currently where I live as well. So here's a fun fact. I was named after E-Man.
Yes!
Yeah. Yeah. So you would think, Adam, biblical, right? No. So my brother was 6 years old when I was born. And my parents, yeah, what should we name? And he said, He-Man. And they said, no. And so I got to be the next best thing, which was his secret identity, Prince Adam.
Yes.
Here I am. But no, full-time pastor. I have a son. He's 10. He has autism. We hang out a lot, spend a lot of time together. And man, that's honestly, yeah, people ask me about myself and I have to think about it because he takes up so much of my identity that I'm still trying to figure out what it looks like around that. You know, I'm not sad about that. He's the best person in Jesse said. But it's good. So full-time pastor, live in Illinois. What else do you want to know?
How you got started in music?
Yeah, sure. That's kind of part of my testimony too, but I played drumline in high school, middle school, high school. Got into percussion and did drumline in the marching band. Took up guitar actually when I was guitar was actually drums were my first instrument. I started taking drum lessons when I was about five, and then took up guitar when I was about 11. Honestly, I wasn't like the partier or anything. I didn't go out. I mean, I went over to friends' houses every once in a while, but most of the time I spent in my room singing in the mirror. But my brother introduced me to a cassette tape of Jeff Moore and the Distance. And it was the Evolution album. And once I heard Evolution Redefined, my life was never the same. And that's, you know, the rock people don't normally go that route because it was like, it's like pop rock type thing. So you usually won't hear that as a number one influence for people. But no, Jeff Moore in the Distance was huge. And then from there it branched out. I went to Audio Adrenaline and Newsboys and all those guys. And then Plank Eye was probably my first experience with a harder rock band. Nice. And But so all that was awesome. And then I had an uncle. I say had because he passed away in like 2005. But he lived in Nashville, and he was a country songwriter. He was on staff for Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner for a number of years on their publishing company, and so he wrote a lot of the old country. So he did his own records in the 60s, from the 60s through the 90s. He wrote for a lot of other people too. So he was a big influence in my life as well. And from there, I ended up moving to Nashville at one point. And this was after high school. I was probably, I don't know, early 20s. Moved to Nashville for a few years. Did the artist management thing. Hung out with my one of my actually my uncle's producer. He kind of took me under his wing. And so I worked out of an office on Music Row for 3 years. Ended up moving back home after a divorce. That really was like kind of the launching point for me to really think about what I want to do in my own life as far as music goes. Because I spent so many years helping other people and telling myself I was gonna record a record one day. And so here I am, 42, and one day has arrived. Yeah,
Nice.
that's it in a nutshell. There's more to it, but I don't want to tell everything because it's all kind of part of the testing.
All right. How about you, Jesse?
Yeah, so I am a Midwestern girl. I grew up in Indiana and I moved to Illinois about a year ago. My daytime job is in the corporate world, so I do that. And then I have three kiddos, 10, 8, and 6. So they keep me on my toes for certain. I think music has always been a really big part of my life. My dad was a pastor and my mom was a music teacher, and so I started leading worship when I was like 11 because we just didn't have anybody. And if you know any PKs, that's kind of how it goes, right? If there's an empty spot, you get shifted into it.
Yep.
But I really loved it. And then went to college and minored in vocal performance and was a part of some ministry music groups as well. My taste in music is incredibly varied. So if you opened up a playlist, you have no idea what you could get. It's kind of all over the place. But yeah, I love it. I currently do lead worship still. It's probably one of my absolute favorite things.
Love that. Love that. So tell us a little bit about Bright Star. Because I'm going to be perfectly honest. Up to a couple of years ago, hadn't heard of you guys. And
Hey.
then I think, Adam, you sent us, when we were on our old station, you sent us Fight. And we put it on, and I was like, oh, man, I'm digging this. And and then we just got What Lives in Me, and I'm like, ooh, I really like this. So I started digging more and more into your music. Now you don't have a lot out, but what you have is really impressive. Can you just tell us a little bit about the band?
So we don't have a lot out. You said you hadn't heard of us until a couple of years ago. I hadn't heard of us until a couple of years ago. So no, it was so in 2024, I think, I told myself I was going to write some books. So I sat down and I wrote a couple of books. They were ended up being like training devotion type things. But I wrote a couple of those and published them independently. But once I started writing, and I tell you, I hate unless it's like really something that will like enrich me like a huge way that I really need to know, then I'll read. But I have never read for fun. Once I started writing though, really didn't stop. And it didn't all take form. I just kind of started flooding through a lot of the emotions and the stuff that I had been through throughout life, and was reflecting a lot and just started writing words, and the words became paragraphs, and the paragraphs became verses, and it just kind of evolved from there. And then I finally got to the point where, and I don't know what made it click, but I was like, you know what? Boy, I was 40 at the time, I think. And I was like, you know, I'm 40. I have bypassed my 30s and I didn't do anything with it. And so it's time. So I really just kind of started messing around with some stuff with the production side of it and trying to find some melodies and put everything together. And the first song we ended up doing was a song called Fading Echoes. And that was kind of it really comes from two different areas, but it was really a song about after my dad passed away, and then also it kind of reflects on just relationships in general, losing people regardless of how you lose them, whether it's death or breakups or divorces or whatever it is. And so that kind of became the baby, and the experiment. We did it, and I found a guy to help me produce it. And I was like, let's put this together and see what happens. And we'll put it out there. And if nobody cares, I'll leave it at that. That's it. And people cared. So part of that was a little bit scary for me. But from there, I decided I wanted to do something a little bit harder. And so we did Fight. I got a hold of KJ52 and he was like, yeah, I dig the song. Let's do it. So we did that, and it turned out a little bit like pop punk kind of a thing, which kind of was a surprise to me as I was going through it and producing it. Oh man. And so we pushed it out to mostly to rock stations, and that had intended for that to be a rock charter. But the rock stations didn't play it very much. What it ended up doing was going number one on the Christian hip hop rhythmic chart, which was like out of left field for me. Granted, I know KJ52 was, but I didn't expect for it to hit the rhythmic charts. Because that wasn't my target. It just kind of threw me for a loop. So since then, I mean, I brought Jesse on board for Fading Echoes because her voice is absolutely incredible. And then just decided I wasn't going to get rid of her. But she stuck with us. So.
Yeah, I have to say, Fading Echoes is definitely my favorite. I love that Evanescence vibe. Your voice is beautiful. I was
Thank
sharing that
you.
to everyone that I knew. I love it. It's a really great song.
Yeah, that was our first. He actually asked me, he was like, hey, what do you think about, maybe like just trying it? And I was like, I don't know if that's what you want. And so he was like, oh, just for fun, just for fun. So just for fun. And here we are, right?
It's great. It's a great turnout.
Yeah. No, I was looking for the Amy Lee vibe anyway, because my goal was I want to write a song that sounds like Evanescence.
Well, you did
Yeah,
it.
right. And it's actually going to be our next release again. We've actually redone the music. When I did it, I was the first one. It was an experiment, and it sounds really good. But it was a little cleaner than I anticipated it being. It's the guy that produced it. It's incredible. But he produces a lot of pop music, and so it was a little bit more reserved than I wanted it to be. So we redid it, and we got it. I mean, we're looking more at the Evanescence Fallen record, for the sound. It's a little bit chunkier, so that'll be out hopefully next month.
Oh, I
So,
look forward to that. That'll be awesome.
For sure. Wow.
And you mentioned too your book. I'm with you. Like, I don't read for fun either. That is not my thing. But when I was doing a little digging on you guys, I did go over like the health and discipleship, and I saw that, and something spoke to me that I need to get it. So I do plan on getting that. I do plan on reading it. Again, I am not a reader, but I will plan on getting that. I think that was definitely God kind of telling me that there was something in there I needed to read. So I will let you know what I think of it when I get it.
Well, I tell you, and you're welcome for this because it's not something that you have to sit down and read all at once. It's a devotional, and it's actually a weekly devotional. So it's great for individuals, but my thought process when I designed it, edited it, all that stuff, was that we would use it for like small groups and stuff. And so it's designed. I did, but people give me crap because I did 48 weeks, and my thought was a year, and I did 48 weeks. So why not 52, right? But ADHD. No, but my thought was, we'll do 48 because A, it's because I separated into the four sections. And so it was four sections of 12 weeks. If I did 52, it would have been four sections of 13 weeks. And it would have been an odd number. And so for 48, you can miss a few weeks throughout the year and still feel like you've accomplished it in the year. That's
Perfect for me.
right.
Love
So,
it.
and then that's really both of the books, Autism and Faith too. Honestly, it was designed to help equip churches, which is a huge training, to be more inclusive of neurodivergent people, people with autism, because a lot of churches are starting a disability member. A ministry, which is great, but I think mindset is that it's a separate ministry. And for me and in my heart, it does not need to be a separate ministry. We need to be overhauling the whole thing so that it's inclusive of everyone and everybody can
Yeah.
in the same manner, and everybody can worship in the same manner. So, yep,
Yeah,
that's.
that's what's cool about you guys. You're not just a rock band. You're an entire ministry, an actual ministry, and you guys dig in on a lot of things. And I like, as I was reading through what about you guys, you use the word inclusive quite a bit, which is not something I generally see when I'm doing any sort of research on a ministry. I really like that. Can you go into a little bit more on just how you see it as inclusive?
Yeah, so Jesus is love, and we're really called, regardless of what people's lifestyles are and regardless of where they are in their lives, we still are called to love, regardless of the situation. And so our stance needs to be a stance of love. And so we want to love you where you are. Of course, when you find Jesus, Jesus needs to transform you, but we want to love you where you are, and we want to help you find Jesus in the areas that the church is not always doing a great job of. And so when I say inclusive, I 99% of what I mean is different ways of thinking and making sure that people, if you struggle with alcohol, if you struggle with addiction of any kind, if you are welcome to come. Don't have to be perfect, and we will find a spot for you at the table, and we will help you, we'll walk with you, we will help you find that transformation you need in your life, but you are worthy right now of relationship, of love, friendship, and finding Jesus. That is not always the in that package.
Yeah, I think it's really like just a mindset in general, because everybody when they come to Jesus, right? Nothing it's not perfect, and there's going to be messy situations, and everyone's growing at the same time. And sometimes in areas that I'm growing and in an area that someone else is growing are going to kind of conflict, right? And it's just learning that, we need to be slow to offense, right? And understand that we're all growing together and leave room for that and still offer grace and love through those growing moments.
Beautiful.
And I love that you do have that book on, sorry, autism in the church. we had a family in our church that had a severely autistic daughter, and they were very concerned about, oh, they're bothering the pastor while he's preaching. Oh, she's interrupting the people sitting in the congregation. And we were like, no, like, we love you guys. We love that she makes little noises while pastor's preaching. And even he was just like, doesn't bother me. But they were so keenly tuned into the things that she was doing and noises she would make that they have chosen to watch church from home. And we're like, no, come be part of the body. Like, we love you guys. And they used to come, we used to host a small group here at our house, and they would be there, and she would be behind us playing with little cars, like making vroom vroom noises while we're, discussing the message. And they ended up leaving the small group, and I'm like, guys, you don't have to do that. Like, we love the fact that you would bring her here. And she, even if she's not actively participating, she's still soaking in God's word. So I love that you guys have that book, and I might actually pick it up and give it to him, so maybe that could help him out.
That's just my, in general, that's my heart for ministry. It's, we have, I pastor a small church. We have about, I don't know, on a good Sunday, we have 50 or 60 people. And man, it, we, but we have, for the, a church that size, we actually have a fair amount of neurodivergent people and children. Not that children aren't people, okay, adults and children. It's man, I love it. I love when the kids cry. I love when the kids are running around. When my kid is able to go, he is, sometimes he just runs up on stage when he feels like it. Just, it is what it is. And we work around that. We should be in tune enough, aware enough of what we're doing and how we're delivering things. Okay.
And I just gotta say, I love pastors' reactions to noises out in the congregation. Like, our pastor, he's 2 years younger than me, and he just became a grandfather a couple years ago. So his granddaughter is, 2 years old now, and his son and daughter-in-law walk in carrying his granddaughter, and he's up there preaching. All right, he's full on in the sermon, and she yells, "Papa!" from the back of the auditorium, and he's like, "I'm Papa." So it was like, it's one of those things that's just fantastic. So, I love it when pastors have that kind of appreciation and don't get ruffled when things happen in out in the congregation.
Yeah, for sure. I don't want to tell too many false stories, but my mindset on that kind of changed and started thinking, how can I include that history? It was actually about 10 years ago. My son was about maybe 6 months old, and we were invited to a private Jeff Moore in the Distance for Youth. And we went, and he was in the carrier. And if you know Jeff Moore, and many of you don't, some of you do, he's the most genuine person probably that you'll ever. And he's kind of funny. And so you can actually go to Jeff Moore's Facebook page and find the live stream from that event. It's 10 years old, but it's still there. And you can hear my son crying. He's the only one. And so you can hear him crying. And then at one point, Jeff is like, "Hey, shut that kid up." But he was kidding. And he did it in a way that you knew he was doing. Everybody knew. But it was funny. And I was like, "Man, that's just like a really lighthearted, catch you off guard, but let you know that I love you."
Yep.
And man, I just went with that. And I was like, "Man, that ministry is real. It's raw. Love people."
So, talk to us a little bit about Bright Star. Like, I know you mentioned a little bit about your music and, and how you don't have a lot out, but this latest song that you sent us, this What Lives in Me, what, like, when you sat down to write it, what was going through your head? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, of course, I wrote no, I'm just kidding. I'm going to actually let Jesse talk about this because
I'll
all
say
of
Jesse doesn't need to be here
yeah.
then. No, we'll just shut off her camera. No, I'm kidding.
She wrote all the words. So I'm going to let her talk about it.
Yeah, so when I sat down to write that one, I had not written for quite a while. And when I finally kind of sat down to write again, of course, like later you'll find, I had been through some pretty intense trauma. And so sitting down to write that, I just kind of said, okay, this is what I have, God. Like, what do you want to do with it? Like, what, how do you want to use it? And so it really, my hope was that it captured being in those intense moments in those really dark places where I felt like I was doing the right things. I was being faithful to God, and it just didn't seem like I was making any ground. And then constantly kind of coming back to, what he's given me, no one can take, regardless of the circumstances. And it ended up really cool because we included my daughters on that song. So they sing a little bit in there. Just because when you deal, I think, as personally with things that are really difficult, you can choose to kind of limp by, right? And deal with them, or you can choose to face them. And if you choose to do that, then you pass on that blessing to your children. And if you choose to ignore it, right, they get handed down all of that trauma as well. And then they're the ones that have to, shoulder that burden. And so it was just a really beautiful thing to hear them, sing that piece, that reminder of what the goal is, regardless of circumstances.
So, how much bragging have they done that they've been on the Rock for Him top 15 for the 2 weeks, last 2 weeks in a row?
My kids tell everybody that their song is on iTunes, and they frequently pull it up. My middle daughter, like, she's kind of in one little spot on it, and every time the song comes on, she's like, "This needs more Amara." So yes, they are very proud of that, and they mention it every opportunity that they get.
Nice.
Now,
Very
when you
nice.
listen to that spot, just musically, it was intense. When I was hearing it and we were putting it together, it kind of sounds like almost like a Deja Vu, like spiritual chant thing. And that was very intentional. When you start thinking of tribes of people and family, generations of people, and that was kind of the
We
reason.
redid that section a couple times. Like, we had it one way, and then I was like, oh, let's change it. And we ended up kind of making it where you have that piece of everyone together, and then kind of handing it off, to my daughter to have that little part. Like, you're passing to the generation, but as she's going through it, everyone kind of later comes in, alongside her. And so that's kind of what we wanted to capture there, and I was really happy with the way it came out.
Yeah, I mean, song is fantastic. Like, well done on it. And I mean, just the way you guys blended everything together, it was perfect. Love it.
Yeah.
So now is when I'd like to ask you guys if you'd be willing to share your testimonies.
Yeah.
So, Adam, if you wouldn't mind, just give us a really quick rundown of how you came to know Christ.
No, I'll do my best. Again, I was a kid. I was in music. That was, I think, my brother went to church. And it just kind of tacked on. From a very young age, I started doing like the vacation Bible school stuff, and just kind of followed along, and ended up getting very close to a pastor that I had as a teenager. And so I grew up in the Nazarene church, and I'm also still a Nazarene pastor. So that's kind of where I found. And the Church of the Nazarene has really big youth events every 4 years. And it's stayed in a different place in the country. Actually, it was in Canada one year. It was in Canada the year I went. And there's like upwards of 10,000 kids will show up and stay in an arena. The year I went, it was they had Audio Adrenaline. They had Rebecca Saint. And it was just like, it was crazy. But I had an opportunity to go to this first time and only time out of the country. This Canada count. But it was just an incredible experience. But with at that event, I heard the fall some kind of, and I didn't know what that was. But I knew it was there. And the long story short, after high school, I had two divorces. My son was born, and that kind of changed my life almost. And I started to see the world through a lens I never. Otherwise, and that really got me. He was diagnosed with that.
If anybody's wondering, I just messaged Adam to let him know his mic keeps cutting off. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but
Am I good right now?
yeah, you're good now. Yeah.
Yeah, it cut out that last like 15 seconds.
15 minutes. I haven't been done.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much since you came on the show, we haven't heard a word you said, so.
Start over. I was named after He-Man. All right, hold on. Let me just make sure. I'll try to stay up close here. And where was I? ADHD got me again. Oh yeah. So after I was, went to this event, and this event kind of like gave me this call, and I didn't know what this call was. And then I graduated high school and kind of drifted into the world. I never turned away from God, but I never like really handed my life over. And so I just did a lot of, I did the Nashville thing, two divorces. My son was born. From him, I just learned how to see life in a way that I never, ever, ever would have otherwise. And then I got into full-time ministry. Started out as the worship director at the church I'm at right now, and then transitioned into lead pastor over the course of a year, or 2 years, actually 2 years. And then I've been there since 2019. So it's been kind of a full circle thing for me, because there was a lot of years where I would go to a church every once in a while, but it was definitely not regular attendance. And it was all over the board. United Methodist, Southern Baptist. It was just ridiculous. But landed back in the Church of the Nazarene. I kind of hit my knees after God, I need you to use me in some way. I need my life to have a purpose. Know you've been calling me to something. What is it? And if it's music, I need you to bring it to me, because I've chased it for myself for so long. And honestly, it was week or two till I started praying that prayer. My friend Dan first, and actually we're going to produce some songs. He called me and he led worship at the church here in Charlotte. And he's like, "Hey, I need a drummer." And I was like, "Hey, I play drums." He's like, "Hey, come on." And so I showed up, played drums for the first time in like 10 or 12 years, and it was just like, oh man, it was a wild feeling. The same day, the drum, I got a call from friend Jeremy. and he won relaunched this church, and he was like, "Hey, heard some of your old songs. I know you have the ability to sing to some degree. Would you please come and come on staff and help us relaunch this church musically?" And it was at that point I was so I mean just for, and then from there I started taking classes, told everybody that I did not want to be a lead pastor ever. And well, here I am. And God is funny that way. But man, I went through all the ministry classes. Once I was done with that took about 4 years. Once I was done with that, I never finished any other degrees, so I decided, hey, I'm gonna get a psychology degree. And so I got my associate's in psychology, and in May I will finish my bachelor's in psychology at Liberty University, with a minor in autism. And honestly, just because I'm crazy, I decided, man, I just need to do this. So, but that's where I'm at now. So it's been an up and down thing for the whole ride, but it was full circle, and I know I'm exactly where I need to be right now. So.
Awesome.
Hey.
Jesse, how about you? How did you come to know Christ?
Yeah, so like I said, I'm a PK, but also my grandfather was a pastor as well, also in the Church of the Nazarene, so kind of have always grown up in that. So I got saved when I was 8, like at a kids camp. And I will say I never had, any kind of rebellious period in that, and just kind of continued to really like pursue Christ throughout my life. And so I ended up, going to school and then interning at a church, and worked full time on staff at a church. And then as I, kind of got older, I got married and then ended up finding myself in an intensely abusive situation. And so it was very gradual. And so, of course, I believed, that God could change anyone, that God, could restore. And so I really like prayed over that intensely. And it just kind of continued to get worse and worse, which was really hard, to kind of feel like, all right, God, I'm being faithful to you. I'm praying over this, I'm doing everything that I can, and nothing is changing. And then it kind of got to the point, where it was incredibly severe, and I kind of became concerned for my safety and, my children as well, because I had 3 little ones. And finally, I kind of reached out. At the time, I was leading worship at a really large church. We had about 5,000 people and, multiple services on Sundays, and, nobody knew, everything that was going on. And finally, I had reached out, and that church was so amazing in helping me walk through that and, working with me to kind of get me ready for what needed to happen. And I remember coming to the point where there was an incredibly difficult decision where, I was already very isolated, but still within, some distance from family and friends. And we had a choice to move, 14 hours away. And I was very concerned about that. And I remember praying, and like my initial gut was like, how can I make this not happen? Right? Like, what can I do to get this to go the direction I want? And I read Exodus 14, 14, which is, where, the Israelites are coming up to the Red Sea, and God says, be still, like the Lord himself will fight for you. And so I was like, all right, I'm not gonna try to manipulate the situation. You have seen every day in front of me, even though I haven't. So if you want me to move, you have something for me there. And if you don't, I'm gonna trust that you know what it is. And that incident actually became, the pathway for us to safely get out of that situation. And one thing that was very formative for me is as I was preparing for that, I started going to our recovery group at our church there. And you know, for the trauma, because it's really for anything, even though a lot of people think it's just for chemical addiction, it is not. And so I started going for that, and that just became, like I said, such a formative and important piece of my story. And watching that grow, when I started going, there were like 15 or 20 of us total. And then I started leading several months later, you know, went through their leadership requirements, and it grew from 15 to 200, you know, within a couple years. And so, like I said, that is just really where my heart is, you know, recovery from no matter what it is. And I call it recovery, active, intentional pursuit of your identity in Christ. Because it's not just let me get over this thing, right? It's let me work through this thing, and then let me see, is there anything else that is keeping me from more of you? Is there anything else, you know, what else can I attack to get out of the way so that I can have more of him? So, yeah.
Me and you have a lot in common then. I love that. I love that you do that every day, completely searching yourself. That's awesome.
So, I know you guys said that you have a re-release of a song coming out within a month or so, but what are the long-term plans? Where does Brightstar go from here?
Yeah, so I have 50 or 60 demos sitting. And so I've dug through them and I've pulled out what I think is an album. We're gonna release some singles. So it frustrates me because I would rather just record a bunch of songs and release the record, right? That's what everybody used to do. But now, like especially with Spotify, everybody hates Spotify, but it's a necessary evil if you really want to get a new reach. If you don't release as singles, you can only pitch one song at a time to their editorial playlists. And so if you release a whole 10 songs, you only get a pitch one, so only one of those songs gets a big chance. And so if you, and this is why people do the single thing. They'll release, you know, three or four singles, and they'll do a bigger project. So my goal is to do about four singles, release a six song EP, do another four singles, release another six song EP, and then release an album with an extra two songs on it. And so you're not just a re-release of everything you have. So you're always getting new stuff. Within that album, we're gonna make this too. So we'll make CDs, vinyl, if anybody cares about vinyl. But I think we have a lot of vinyl out there, but if they care enough about us on vinyl, we'll do it. But CDs definitely. Yeah. So that my goal is to have all that done this year. We're funding this ourselves. At first this was like a for-profit thing. We were just gonna go do the rock band thing, blah, blah, blah. But I had so many ideas, all this stuff I wanted to do, and I started a nonprofit for autism and faith. And then I was like, oh man, it's like I feel called to do this and this and this. So let me start a nonprofit for this thing too. And then I was like, you know what? No. So Brightstar became Brightstar Ministries Incorporated, and I put it as the main nonprofit. And so all these other things are projects under Brightstar Ministries. Brightstar the band, Autism Faith, we're going to do other resources and all that good stuff. So anyway, all that built up, my plan was to have the whole record done this year. It is not going to happen. But I am hoping by, you know, we'll be releasing songs the whole year, but I'm hoping by maybe the middle of next year, we'll have the physical stuff.
That's
Wow. So,
exciting.
Jesse, are your girls ready for all these songs? They got, you know,
Oh,
their
they
singing
are
voices.
always ready. Those girls are always ready.
What you got, Kira?
I was just wondering, do you have any advice for anybody that is going to start a ministry like this? Like, I know there was a lot of moving pieces in this, but what kind of advice would you give somebody that is thinking about starting an actual ministry?
Slow down. I don't like to go slow. I hate slow. And Jesse is good at slow, and I am not. But I have to be better at slow because she says. But no, slow down, pray about it. Pray about it and get really good counsel. As much as we want to tackle things by ourselves because we have really great ideas, right? You cannot do everything that you want to do by yourself. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work. And honestly, if you're trying to do that, you're not really stewarding what God has given you well. And so community, counsel, and prayer. Those are my three things.
And
Yeah,
seeing
I think.
that's what I've been kind of telling Kira also. That's why God brought her to Rock for Him. Like, we are dedicated to helping her with her ministry. So, whatever she needs, we're there.
And I just echo that. I think, I could put it into one thing, just seek first, right? Like, what do you want to do? It's not, I have ideas, but God, what do you want to do with them?
For sure.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hey, we have a comment here on Facebook. This is why I love live streaming, because we get comments on this. Listener John Coral, I hope I'm saying your name right, John. He says, never give up, keep fighting, whatever you're doing and whatever you're going through, there's always people praying for you. So, yeah, I mean, I'm
Love
not
it.
sure what he was putting that comment to, but he put it on there. And so, yes, we are. As a matter of fact, we'll be praying for you guys later. So, have you guys done any touring? Have you done any live shows? Are there plans to do any live shows?
So we don't have a band yet. It's really just us doing the thing right now. So we do and orchestrate everything ourselves right now. I would love a band. So if you play guitar, bass, drums, or electronic music, so like synthesizer and stuff, call me. Yeah, I would love to do live shows. We will never tour. Well, I say never. Not in the near or midterm. Just because of family life and our obligations at home. Jessie has her three kids, they're neurodivergent, and my son, neurodivergent, and like my life is scheduled around him. And so we will never go on tour, as fun as that would be, at least in the near future. But I would love to do some very select one-off shows. Maybe play. We're not very far from Kingdom Come Festival. That would be awesome. Stuff like that. So we'll be very intentional, very high value ministry opportunities. I say value, but just the value of in the ministry, not the money. Yeah. So I'm hoping by next year we'll be ready to do, a few shows a year.
Speaking of festivals, I mean, you're on the right show because two of the co-hosts on this show are involved in festivals, one of which happens to be Kingdom Come Fest. And neither of those co-hosts is me. So the festivals are like, we're good. We don't need you. So, Jeremy, if you're watching.
Yeah, and I'm helping a little bit with the social media side of the Immersion Festival. I'm so excited for this one. So if you guys can ever get down to Circleville, Ohio, you should come check it out. You would enjoy it. And your kids may enjoy it too because it's very kid friendly.
Nice.
So, let's see, what time is it? Oh, it does look like we are quickly running out of time, but we still have a few more minutes. Kira, you got any more questions you want to ask before we move into prayer?
I just wanted to meet. How did you guys meet exactly?
to hit her with. So, through a series of events, so, like, of course, we are both divorced parents, and so you kind of find your way out there at some point. And so we met at that, but I, she fell in like with me before I did, and but no, when I started the autism faith thing, she became very helpful in that area, and so we kind of grew a little bit closer through that, and then she moved to Illinois and didn't really give me a chance, so I or a choice, I should say. But so yeah, and so we are how can I put it? It's definitely a thing, and it's just a very, because of the dynamics of our lives, it has to be a very intentional, and another thing, you know, you hate to go slow. I hate to go slow, but you know, it's just a thing that we're just taking our time and learning about each other and learning who we are in Jesus. So.
That's adorable. I'm happy for you guys, and it sounds like it's very God-led, and that's all that matters.
Yep, that's the most important piece.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So, Jesse, I got a real quick question for you.
Okay.
I'm a huge Funko Pop nerd, and I keep seeing over your shoulder, you got one there. What is it?
I do. It's actually a Valentine's one. It is Luke Skywalker.
Oh, that is awesome.
With Grogu,
Yes, with
from The
Grogu.
Mandalorian. When I met
Yes.
her, she had not seen any of the Star Wars.
What?
Yeah, I know. And
Yeah.
so now she has seen. And so, yeah, we're actually trying to get Mandalorian.
Yeah.
But
There is now a rule in our house, in my house, that it has been put in place by my son, who is 6. That we are not allowed to watch anything Star Wars unless Adam is here.
nice.
Because he has questions and I cannot answer them.
That's so sweet.
Well, I am a huge Star Wars nerd. Like, if you could see over there, well, hang on. Let me
Oh,
just
we get to
shift.
see.
You get to see. Let me see if I can get rid of my background here. Gotta figure out how to do this, but yeah,
Here, I'll show you this as you're doing that. This is my mouse.
Oh,
Oh,
all right. Now
I
you've
didn't
just
know
got me
about
jealous.
the mouse. That's
All right,
awesome.
hang on, hang on.
Oh yeah,
Like,
all the stuff. Yeah, that's a, you know, you should keep that background.
I don't know.
nice. Why don't you show that?
Well, because too many people have told me that they need to see this. So,
Okay.
like, but, and the reason I asked you about the Funko Pop was my wife got me one just like it, a Valentine's one, but it's Obi-Wan. And so I
Okay.
was like, oh, does she have the same Obi-Wan back there? I've been sitting here the entire show staring at it. So, all right. Well, as I said earlier, we are quickly running out of time, but one thing that we do like to do for all of our guests is we like to pray for you. So, Adam, how can we be praying for you?
Oh gosh, pray for patience, and peace.
Patience and
Peace is a big
peace.
one. I mean, my whole life I've struggled with anxiety and depression, and so and a lot of times that comes along with ADHD, and so I was clinically diagnosed with ADHD and anxiety disorder, so. That is a battle that I have lifelong. You know, you learn ways to control it the best you can, but That is always a thing. So if you could pray peace, that would be.
And one more quick question. Are you preaching on Sunday?
Yes.
I'm going to pray for your message
No,
then.
no, no, I'm not. No, 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 no. We actually have a student from Olivet
Okay.
Nazarene University coming to preach. I'll preach
Well,
the next Sunday.
gets a week off.
Yay.
Right. Jesse, how can we be praying for you?
Yeah, I think just direction and also, parenting because three. I mean, I have three and they are a lot. I love them. But it's rough, doing it alone, especially when you have three. So I could definitely use prayers there just to make sure that, I'm doing the best that I can and showing up for them because it can be hard to balance between the three of
Absolutely. I've got one and it's like I have three. So,
them.
all right. So I'll go ahead and close this out in prayer. Great and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Adam and for Jesse and bringing them on the show tonight to chat with us a little bit. Lord, I thank you for their ministry. I thank you for their music. Lord, I ask that you just watch over Adam and help him grow in his patience and give him a sense of peace, Lord. Just continue to work on him with his ADHD and his anxiety. Just put a hedge of protection around him. Lord, I ask that you be with the student teacher that's going to be preaching this Sunday. Lord, give him the right words to say and open up the hearts and minds and ears of those in the congregation. And then be with Adam as he prepares his message for the following Sunday. Lord, let him say your words. Just guide him and bless him. Lord, I ask you just watch over Jessie and her kids. Lord, we know what a blessing they are, but we also know that they can get feral and cause a little bit of a struggle. So please just be with her and give her patience when it comes to her children. And please just point her in directions that she needs to go and continue to guide them. And just keep them to be honoring and glorifying you at all times. But most of all, we thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
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 Well, Adam, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us. And before we get out of here, is there one thing that you want to share with the Rock for Him listeners that you would want them to know?
Jesus loves you, and it does not matter about your emotional state. It doesn't matter about the condition of your life. It doesn't matter how broken you feel. It does not matter what you've done. Jesus loves you. He is there for you. And he just wants you.
Love it. I love it. All right. So, for those watching and listening, I just want to thank you so much for joining us. Jesse, Adam, this has been fantastic. Anytime you guys want on, you guys are more than welcome to come on. Adam, I've already been chatting with you on Facebook. I'll make sure to send you my phone number. So, if you want to give me a call, if you ever need prayer, please feel free to reach out. And, Kira, as always, been a pleasure, sis.
Yes, it has been such a pleasure getting to know you guys and learning more about your ministry. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for everyone that was watching and will be watching. And if you're gonna rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're gonna rock, rock for him.
Coming up next week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Adam Castro of the band Classic Disaster.